Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Great job to our producer, Shannon Penn, because it is a big day, a big sneaker day. You can't deny it. It's a big day for our country, and we are here to provide the positive energy that you need to bring it home. It's Shanae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Shanae Ogwumike and Michael Jr. holding it down for you on this inauguration day. Now, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, this hour, rock with us because we will be setting you up with the NFL players and teams that may need a fresh start. We already got the players down. Soon we'll talk to you about teams that maybe might kind of want a fresh start. We'll also talk about the freshest pair of kicks we saw today because, ooh, Junior, do you own them?
No, I can assure you I do not own the Dior Jordans, the $2,000 masterpiece collaboration there. But somebody did, and Chanae, if Inauguration Day is not a day to go and get fits off, I don't know a day it exists that's better.
Tell that to Kimberly Martin, our own ESPN NFL reporter. She can look cute in the cold, and I'm sure she will now because she has a lot of content to work with. And also today, a star player is pretty much sailing, you know, off into the sunset. Philip Rivers of the Colts, but most notably the Chargers, has announced his retirement, leaving the game to now become a head coach at, I believe, St. Michael Catholic High School in Fairhope, Alabama. Very important to his family and their legacy, where he hopes to coach his sons. And, you know, Junior, this got me all thinking before we switch over to the NBA. Would you ever want to, like, coach? You know, playing the game is one thing, but coaching and coaching high school, could you ever be a high school football coach?
Oh, yeah, listen, Chanae, if I were ever going to, because it's the number one question, and you'll find this out whenever your time in sports is done, is as soon as you finish playing, everyone asks if you want to go into coaching. And truthfully, the lifestyle, just too much for me. If I could coach in college, the only place I'd want to coach is Notre Dame. But high school, that's different. You're going out there and getting the chance to teach and to mold. Like for Philip Rivers, his father coached him in high school. That was a huge experience for him. My father coached me growing up in Pop Warner and Pee Wee football. And I think getting to affect that age group where people are still learning, it's such a formative time, and it's so much of it's different. It's just playing with your friends at that point. It hasn't become as big and important as the other levels. High school is the probably one level I could go and coach at.
Look, the attendance of that school, I want to see the numbers because I'm pretty sure a lot of athletes, their numbers are going to go through the roof with Philip Rivers as the coach. So it's going to be super exciting. But you know what's cool? I mean, I wish there were fans there. There's certain limited fans when it comes to the NBA. And I feel like the energy has really been around Brooklyn so far. So let's switch over to the NBA because, you know, a star is going to make his return. Kyrie Irving is expected to play tonight. We heard our own Doug Brown in the SportsCenter update talk about the situation. But Malika Andrews tweeted it just saying that Steve Nash says Kyrie Irving will start tonight against Cleveland alongside Kevin Durant and James Harden. Now, it's funny. As a professional athlete, when you're trying to come back from, you know, a situation where you took a hiatus, or albeit whether it is injury or personal reasons, Junior, playing against the Cavs is not a bad way to get back. No shade to the Cavs, but I see this as a scenario that's going to be really, really good for them to sort of find their way and gel. But Junior, what do you think is pretty much the biggest challenge for the Nets now that they have the big three?
You're right. He's got the added dose of a revenge game tonight going up against his first team in the Cleveland Cavaliers to kind of bolster this. Because, Chanae, I think excited to see tonight is the way they welcome Kyrie back, because we've seen this on teams in the past. Like, go back to the Golden State Warriors when they got Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry spent an entire year almost being deferential, trying to make him feel welcome in this. Now, I don't think it's going to be that, but I think this team is probably aware of what Kyrie Irving's been going through. This team is certainly more aware than any of us on the outside. And so, in addition to starting, I would kind of expect people to try and get Kyrie involved in the offense again pretty early on in this situation. These guys know him. We talk all the time about the runs that these guys had out in Los Angeles, and certainly the relationship that Kevin Durant and Kyrie had been able to forge over the last year. And so I think all of that is going to lead us to kind of get a Kyrie game tonight, as they're going to get to kind of pick and choose and ride the hot hand when you've got three players this good.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like showing that they're all here as a team is going to be very important, and maybe that amounts in Kyrie Irving being the guy that really goes off. But I feel like no one other than James Harden. James Harden is the number one person that would be most invested in that. Why? You look at Kevin Durant, he's got rings. You look at Kyrie playing against the Cavs, a lot of good history there. You know, he has a ring. And so now James Harden is the only one, and he might be like one of the older. I think Kevin Durant, he's played about 14 seasons, James Harden 12. But James Harden, the MVP, the only thing he doesn't have is a ring. So I feel like he has sort of more of an incentive to defer some bit when it comes to Kyrie. But I do think on the flip side, it's going to be really interesting because Kyrie Irving is the point guard. Even though, and, you know, I've played with a whole bunch of point guards and, you know, some that don't look to score and some that really look to score and take over games and are all-stars. And one thing I found is that no matter how good you are supposed to have that innate ability to just defer and keep the offense going, even at detriment to yourself. Even if you feel like you're rolling, you have to make sure KD is rolling or James is rolling or executing on the pick and roll. And it's even doubly so, Junior, because guess who is his head coach? Steve Nash. He sort of wants that ball, you know, moving with fluidity. And so I think Kyrie, while he might be inclined to go out there and show everyone that this is his team, even though KD sort of has taken that and run with it, I do think he also has the pressure and burden of making sure that he can be the engine for this team and let James Harden be great and KD be great, because that gives them their biggest shot at winning a title.
This was Kyrie Irving talking about what his role in the team is going to look like when he addressed the media the other day at the Brooklyn Nets presser. Oh, and it just went away on me right there. And so I'm going to try and get it back on the fly right here. We'll try again. This is Kyrie Irving talking to the Nets presser about his role in this team.
Like I said, it's just really exciting, you know, just to be able to play with great players that have, you know, just been here in the league for a while, have been through ups and downs, the peaks and valleys. So, you know, James is aligned with us in terms of just experience, and, you know, adding that to our locker room is going to be great for us.
I will be very curious, Janae, because James Harden brought this up the other day. He said, when Kevin and I played with each other in Oklahoma City, we were kids. We're grown now. These are 31-year-old men that we're talking about in this spot. One of the hardest things to do with athletes and with egos, because to compete at this level and to be this good, you've got to have an ego, but some semblance of self-awareness in these situations of who really is going to end up being in a lesser spot when these guys are all firing on all cylinders. Steve Nash, for right now, for the regular season, I don't worry about this very much, because it's going to be finding combinations that work with the lineups, working with all these minutes to try and see who gels and what way can we best maximize all these guys. It's going to be when they get into the games that matter. It's going to be when everyone's trying to force their legacy and make sure that they are credited in this process. Are people going to have the self-awareness to pull back when they need to defer to what we all see as obvious? Like, Kevin Durant's the best player on that team, period. It is not close. It is not a contest in my mind that he's the best player on that team. Are you going to be able to sell that to James Harden and Kyrie Irving, who are both used to being the guy with the ball in their hands and hitting big shots in big moments, when it actually gets to time when things matters? That's the thing that I don't think we're going to see anywhere close to now, but becomes the ultimate and really only important question on this team.
And I think they actually will do it. Now, I know everyone talks about their personalities. We've got KG, who was clapping back at people and still does now from his personal account, but he used to do it with the burner. James Harden, who moved different, who didn't really care about what people thought about him and would show up and get buckets. You've got Kyrie, who puts up, you know, alternative or unique thoughts. A lot of different personalities on this team, but I think the number one thing that drives them together is that similarity of being an outsider and using that, like, they all chose each other. They put themselves in a high risk scenario, hoping that there will be a higher reward. So I think that intrinsic value there that sort of will motivate them over the course of the season will help them autocorrect with, oh, he got the rock, but he didn't, and all that type of stuff, because they risked a lot to play for Brooklyn. And now I feel like the only answer is delivering a championship.
And the only answer, quite frankly, is delivering tonight, because based off the start that you had with James Harden in those first two games, you know, people would not hesitate, Janae, to reach for the panic button if all of a sudden against the Cleveland Cavaliers, like, we calling it what it is, if all of a sudden this game was a little close or they flirted with something like that, you know immediately what people are going to point to.
Yeah, a sentimental game, but also it's like, if I'm going to, well, let me not say it because I don't like to act shady, but if I'm going to come back, I may come against, not the Bucks, but I'll come against the Cavs.
It just seems like good timing. Listen, there's nothing wrong with saying that right now. The Cavaliers are trying to build towards something in the future. Their future is just a little further away than the Nets right now.
How far? Really far?
Really, really far.
Super far.
So far. Impossibly far. So all of this is happening, though, Janae, and all of this pressure comes from one place. Ring counting. It is the thing that governs all of the pressure that I think exists in the NBA right now, because we decided that nothing matters in the regular season, that it's been devalued so much, and that chasing rings the way James Harden going to Brooklyn right now to do is the only thing that matters. I don't think that can apply in the same ways in football, but we try and do it time and time again, and that argument's resurfaced. Coming up next, we'll use one future Hall of Fame quarterback to show you exactly why this is an imperfect method for judgment. We'll do that next. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast.
You know what we say, new year, new me. You hear that on our reads. Maybe we should retire that statement 20 days into the year, new me. But humor me, because which team really needs that energy the most? Which player needs a fresh start? We discussed all of that today. And what do we have left? We've done the team. We've done the players, and now we need the team, right? And we'll get to that, you know, very soon. But right now, Junior, it's Chinay Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chinay Ogunbowale, Mike Golic Jr. We have to get back to the legacy of Phillip Rivers, because what he's been able to do, especially with the game, we sort of felt the emotion come through when it came to his teammate that joined us not too long ago, Nick Hardwick, longtime center for the Chargers with Rivers. Junior, I mean, I'm very proud of you, because you could have kind of fanboyed a little bit, but you kept it together.
Barely. Very barely kept it together for a guy that, like everyone else can fanboy over Phillip Rivers. I'll be in here geeked out that Nick Hardwick knows my name. Like, what a time to be alive for a young fat kid who wanted to grow up and get tattoos because of guys like Nick Hardwick and Jeff Fain. I got to live the dream today.
I'm very happy for you. And I wish you said barely, but it's okay. I'll give you a pass on that. But the annoying part here, Jinger, is that we've always had to factor in when people retire the rings. The first thing we say is championship rings, Super Bowls when it comes to the NFL, because we talk about player legacy. So let's try to settle all of the legacy when it comes down to Phillip Rivers and his impact on the game through one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
So, Junior, before we get your final take on Phillip Rivers, especially today as he announced his retirement, you know, and his career overall, we did get a clear answer from his teammate who joined us earlier here on Chinay Ngola Jr., Nick Hardwick, who was Phillip's center. And now he really just, I think his words mean so much based on how much love you could hear from them. And when we sort of talk about the NFL and how we grade quarterbacks overall, he basically came, Nick Hardwick, on and talked to us about how the Hall of Fame should really treat Phillip Rivers' career.
I think he belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And it's hard, right? Because you got to think Dan Fouts and Warren Moon are the only two quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame who have never played in a Super Bowl. Not one, but never played in one. And so Phillip would be the third one to go to the Hall of Fame that had never played in the Super Bowl. But his numbers speak for themselves. His toughness really is kind of, I think, what he's known for, is fighting through injury, playing with an ACL in the championship game. And I just, you know, as a friend and as a teammate and somebody who loves football, I think he's the kind of guy that the Pro Football Hall of Fame would be glad to open their door for. But I guess we shall see.
That was Nick Hardwick, a longtime Chargers center with Phillip Rivers, teammates. And you could just hear how everyone agrees, at least for the large portion, about how talented he was and how, you know, having such a long career matters, not only to him, to his team, and to that organization. But Junior, you know, you brought up the idea of NBA, we talk about rings, and that cements legacy. How is it different in football?
Well, it's different because this conversation always tends to center maybe less around his Hall of Fame candidacy, even, and more around his comparison to the other 04 quarterbacks, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, guys who have the Super Bowl rings, have climbed that mountain that Phillip Rivers could never get over the top of. But it ignores so much the rest about Phillip Rivers' game and all the stats. He was a more consistent quarterback, a better quarterback overall in his career than Eli Manning. I think they're both going to end up Hall of Famers, but that doesn't end up really being what it's about. The Hall of Fame conversation is always, can we tell the story of the game without you? And we could talk about, for Phillip Rivers, fifth in passing yards in NFL history, fifth in passing touchdowns in NFL history. We could talk about 240 consecutive starts to end his career, an NFL Iron Man. We could go through all the dadgums, the sex joke, the trash talk, and him, you know, the weird shot put throwing motion that comes up in this conversation too. But Chinay, I don't know how you can tell the story of the NFL in the last 17 years without Phillip Rivers, because you could set your clock to this guy. He was consistent. The 4 o'clock window on Sunday afternoons leading into 60 minutes belonged to Phillip Rivers, because you could count on him to be down about 6 points with about 2 minutes left of the game and the length of the field to go, ready to try and slug it out again on that one. I've called him the NFL Sisyphus for years. The old myth where you've got him, Sisyphus, destined to push a boulder up an icy hill forever and it to never get up over the top. And the thing I always respected about Phillip Rivers the most is no matter how many times we got in that same situation, that dude attacked the hell out of that boulder like he was going to push it up over that hill, and he did it every damn time, and we could set our watch to it. So I think Phillip Rivers a walk-in Hall of Famer, Chiney, and I don't think we got to think much about it.
Yes, snaps for Phillip Rivers' career. And I think it's really interesting because I think, don't they always say, like, leave them wanting more?
Yep.
And we're in a situation where he kind of did exactly that. Not many great expectations on this Indianapolis Colts team, yet he left us all wanting more, so much so that his coach said, hey, I wouldn't mind having him back again next season. And I feel like sometimes that's a beautiful thing, especially when it comes to football, to leave the game on your own terms, or even athletes in sports overall. And we've seen Phillip Rivers sort of prioritize, what did Nick say? Family, faith, and football. And now he sort of has transitioned from one to the other, but he has, I mean, we can only imagine that football team's gonna be fun.
Oh, they, I can say, who wouldn't want to be around that high school team?
The referees, can you imagine the high school referees in Alabama now
getting chewed out by Phillip Rivers on the daggum sideline? I don't know how they're going to survive it, Chiney, but it's going to be better for it. And you know this, the hardest thing sometimes for athletes is to know when to walk away. People chase that, and Phil had a defined line in the sand. He said, I'm going to be here to coach my kids in high school same way my dad was here to coach me, and he knew that from the beginning. We talked to Nick Harbrook, and he said there was never a question when it came to those things. And there's something to be said for knowing what's most important and keeping the main thing the main thing. Again, Phillip Rivers consumed a lot of football. He didn't let it consume him, and that alone is worth a ton, because we know it ain't that easy for everyone involved in this situation right now. Chiney Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And so that conversation around Phillip Rivers is going to keep going. But the interesting part is, you mentioned Phillip Rivers came over for 1 year with the Indianapolis Colts, who have had Jacoby Brissett under center, who have had Andrew Luck under center, and now are looking for yet another quarterback right now, a team that's going to get a fresh start. Who are the other teams around the NFL as we get to look out to the offseason now that are ready to do just that? We'll tell you ours next. It's Chiney Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Breaking news, Phillip Rivers is retiring after 17 seasons.
He's a trash talker.
I quit crying!
Talking about one of the most competitive individuals that I've ever come across.
When you know it's time, you just go ahead and you do it.
An NBA player just got traded, and now he is extremely grateful because that trade could have saved his life. In a few minutes, we will tell you exactly who that was as we keep that same energy. But boy, oh boy, we got a treat. It's Chiney Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Turn to ESPN Plus now. You got to see our lovely faces and another face that you guys will be. I mean, this is super fun. Chiney Golic Jr. here, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance, as you box your face, and I don't know why you're laughing. Our guests here joined via the Goodyear hotline. Before we get to the teams, you're looking super cute on ESPN Plus, and I'm trying to buy time for everyone to get there, because before we get to the teams that need a fresh start, you heard myself, you heard Golic Jr., you heard Nick Hardwick, and now Eli Manning has joined the fold to celebrate Phillip Rivers' his career as he announced his retirement today. ESPN caught up with Eli Manning, and he was able to share his thoughts on the longtime Chargers quarterback.
For those quarterbacks drafted in your same class, I think you always, in a way, root for them. Like, you don't want them to have too much success. You don't like when they're, you know, you didn't really like when Ben was winning Super Bowls before me, and all of a sudden there's that. You want your draft class to go down as, you know, one of the top draft classes for quarterbacks. And so you do root for those guys, and you do keep up with them and watch them a little bit closer than other quarterbacks in the league.
That was the voice of Eli Manning, two-time Super Bowl champion. Salute to the OG, Phillip Rivers. I mean, being a part of a draft class, he's absolutely right. You want that draft class to go deep, because that sort of makes your case as a, you know, a great player, Junior. How are you taking, like, I've been loving this. So many different voices are coming, and they're just really saluting the career, and more importantly, the person that Phillip Rivers is.
I think the coolest one, because the stories that end up coming about players that have battled Phillip Rivers on the field and encountered him there, I thought this is a great one. J.J. Watt tweeted this out, all-pro defensive end for the Houston Texans. said, I'll never forget lining up for a play and Phil pointing at one of our linebackers and telling him he was lined up wrong based off the blitz we were about to run and being 100% correct. One of the smartest players I ever played against and a hell of a competitor. Like, Chiné, for all of the trash talking that we hear on NFL films and the mic'd up stuff like that, like, Phillip Rivers is a football-eating robot when it comes to his memory, the Rolodex. Like, the stories you hear from guys are him going back into the vault for defensive coordinators to find blitzes they ran with different teams 8 years ago that you might see that day. That's the level of detail that goes into this position. That's the level of detail that makes you a Hall of Famer.
Man, that man is different, and I love how we keep saluting it, and I cannot wait for the stories to come from his, like, players that he's coaching in high school, because that will be super fascinating as he transitions there to coach his high school team. Now, the Colts, they will be a team that, you know, a lot of people might say now really needs a fresh start. So earlier, Junior, we were discussing which NFL player needs a fresh start. You said Allen Robinson of Chicago, the Bears, and I said Dak Prescott of the Cowboys. Yes, don't panic, Texas. I still feel like he should have all the power and leverage. But how about the teams, Junior? Which team really needs a fresh start? What sort of weighs on your mind when we're talking about the teams sort of looking into this offseason saying we need to really make some wholesale changes?
Yeah, Chiné, I want to preface this by saying I think there are a lot of teams that are obvious answers in this that we all know and we're going to talk about here, and rightly so. But when I look at one in particular that has a lot of the pieces that you need, but identity-wise might need a shift, I think it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. What we saw this last year was a quarterback that got old in a hurry down the stretch of the season, and a receiver core that could not seem to hold up its end of the bargain after that 11-0 start. And you look at the key free agents and all this. Juju Smith-Schuster coming up in free agency right now. Alejandro Villanueva, their starting left tackle for a number of years, coming up in free agency. Bud Dupree on the defensive side, I believe, is going to be a free agent. They've got decisions to make about their identity, and I think Chiné, finding and making sure you secure Ben's heir apparent has to be number one. If he's going to come back next year and you're going to let him ride this out, fine. But you can't be waiting around till then. Use this gap year you potentially have to go and secure that. I have a feeling Juju Smith-Schuster might be a guy that ends up walking in free agency. This team has always drafted wideouts well. It's always replenished. And you got a defense that still lights out when it's healthy right now. I think the Steelers, it might not be a full sale overhaul change, but I think a fresh start for that team at some key spots is probably going to help them out.
I like that, because when I was making my list for a player that might look for greener pastures or another place to play, you know, you chose Allen Robinson. I chose Dak Prescott, but my number two was Juju, just because he's about 24 years old. He's proven that he's capable. You know, he's had a 1400 yard season receiving. He's an unrestricted free agent, as you mentioned. But now with the Steelers, it's funny, after their time with AB, you sort of have to put up those numbers for them to deal with, you know, all the personality at times. And I feel like Juju hasn't really shown that consistency where people feel comfortable with him being himself, as he says, dancing on people's logos. Maybe that's elsewhere. But when it comes to me, Junior, when I'm looking at teams, I mean, on a day that, you know, Phillip Rivers retires, I'm sort of looking at the New Orleans Saints. The Saints, because I feel like a fresh start is going to be coming. And it might be obvious, but I feel like they've sort of have a situation where, all right, does the contract of Taysom Hill sort of drive our future here? Because we saw him play and we saw him, you know, win. Didn't they play twice against the Falcons that one time? So
yeah.
it sort of seemed like it skewed his stock a little bit. But then you see Jameis Winston come into the game and drop, you know, like you can see the talent there with his arm, but, you know, you question his decision making. So I feel like they are one of those situations where a team, like their team could look dramatically different from the last 5 years. Shoot. The last 15 years with Drew Brees, if he decides to walk away from the game. Plus, you had Michael Thomas. He had a couple subliminal messages about, you know, how much pressure he probably felt playing this season and getting back. And we saw what those frustrations sort of mounted towards. And now he's sort of dealing with an injury situation where he's on the road to recovery. But I look overall at the Saints. I trust in Sean Payton. I think he's going to figure it out. But I feel like this is where they potentially will press reset. And this team might look dramatically different from what they look like this year.
And Chiné, I think the biggest reset for them comes financially, because the Saints have gone all in on Drew Brees for a while, saying, we got an aging Hall of Fame quarterback here. We got to try and make sure we're in win now mode. And we've seen it. They've been damn near the number one team in the NFC, most people's Super Bowl pick, for the last 4 or 5 years. And they have suffered some catastrophic playoff losses, like Minnesota Miracle style, over and over again on repeat, bludgeoning playoff losses. And now they're sitting here almost a projected nearly $100 million over the cap going into next year with some key free agents. And so, Chiné, trying to hit financial reset as best you can. You're going to be able to keep some of those core pieces around on an unbelievable defense. but you've got to try and find a way to shed some of this weight and get yourself back in a position where you can start making long-term plans again.
Can I sneak another one in here? Because I sort of had a tie when I was doing my research on this.
Oh, come on. Who you got?
Seahawks. I think they're really fascinating because they sort of tried to be a whole lot of different things over the course of their season. And if I'm a team, obviously we saw what Russ Cook did. You know, oh, man, the MVP vote. Didn't we start this NFL season about, will he get his MVP vote?
You remember how long ago that felt like, by the way, where Russ was the runaway MVP, and we were all saying he's finally going to get his MVP vote.
Exactly.
Look at me now. Ooh.
I think it's going to be fascinating because, they let go of their offensive coordinator. And, you know, you went in one season from let Russ cook so much that he puts a trademark on it to only having 27 pass attempts in the playoffs. It's sort of like they don't know where they want to be. And that's why Russell Wilson sort of said, I need a hand in how whoever's going to come here and you know, steer our offense. So I'm going to be interested. And also, like, we were talking too about their defense. Oh, they're getting better. They acquired Jamal Adams from the trade, all that type of stuff. What is real and what isn't? Now, I trust in Russell Wilson, but I don't know who this team is moving forward, you know, in a wholesale way, because they showed us so many different sides. But I feel like the Seahawks could also be on that list for, you know, choices outside of what we sort of understand and expect.
Probably going to be one of outside the head coaching hires from this offseason. The most important coaching hires we see is who do Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, and that front office bring in to be the offensive coordinator? Brian Schottenheimer let go, and Russ said, I wouldn't have wanted that if I had a say in that matter. Who knows if he says that to be kind to someone there, because Seahawks fans and Seahawks Twitter will tell you there's been a conflicting relationship with Brian Schottenheimer for a while now, and the way that this team sort of Benjamin buttoned on offense through the course of the season was alarming. And so you've got another one of those quarterbacks that's in that special tier where we're saying you've got to maximize what you got left. We know Seattle got a Super Bowl out of it and almost got two, but you don't want to end up being one of those stories about what could have been in the long haul when you have one of those generational talents. So lots to consider with those teams in there as they try and right the ship, because now we got four left. We are going into conference championship weekend. So everybody, while they're in Cancun right now, Jamal Adams, speaking of that defense, you saw him chirping those Rams players, say, I'll see you guys in Mexico. Make sure you bring your own cigars when you do it. Weird trend, by the way, of players that just got beat chirping the teams that beat them who lose in the next round.
That's a weird flex. Probably a bad flex, but hey, they're still going to be in Cabo. Wouldn't that be nice either way?
So I can say, honestly, not bad. And like, God, you know, we're all here on Twitter to get jokes off.
Oh, is
anyway.
Cabo the NFL version of 1-2-3 Cancun?
Cancun. Yes, it seems It seems to be right now. So just, you know, two sides of the same coin on this one as we all try and get warm after a season where they've been cooped up. So we'll see. We have plenty of time to get into the preview of this weekend right now. We'll get started on plenty of that tomorrow. But coming up next, we did have history made yesterday, and big time for fans of women's college hoops and people who grew up in the Northeast, a big shift in the tectonic plates of that sport. We'll get to that next. It's Chenae Ngola
Jr. History Today
here on ESPN Radio.
Chenae Ngola Jr., the podcast.
It's so hard for me not to sing because it's Sister Act, Oh Happy Day. Oh, man, but this is the vibe. Shout out to Cliff, who's been doing his thing on the ones and twos today. Showing love to the crew is what we do. Billy, get ready. Because this is a special day in our country, especially grateful for those who chose to spend some time with us. It's Chenae Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio and Chenae Ogwumike, Mike Golick Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Now we have to thank our guests that joined us today on Inauguration Day. Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders, who told us who the favorite is according to their metrics, and it's still not the team that most people have been saying all year long. But hey, men lie, women lie, numbers don't, I guess. Kimberly Martin, also, you guys can check out our podcast, First Take, Her Take. It's really fun. Myself, Kimberly, and Charlie Arnold from WWE fame, along with hosting First Take time to time. ESPN NFL reporter Kimberly Martin joined us, and she took us behind her preparations, you know, as she gets ready for her first trip in the NFL playoffs to Lambeau. I think she'll be ready, especially after seeing the outfits we saw on display today. And last but not least, Nick Hardwick, longtime Chargers center and teammate of Philip Rivers. Everybody needs to go back and watch or listen to our conversation with him, because everyone wants a teammate that loves you like that, the way Nick Hardwick really just, you could hear the love emanate from his voice when it comes to Philip Rivers as he announced his retirement today. So if you missed, you know, our show today, or you were busy watching the inauguration festivities, rewatch our show on ESPN Plus, or you guys can check out our podcast, Chenae Ngola Jr., Spotify, Apple, everywhere. Billy, give me a word. Billy.
Yeah, we need a word, Bill.
Oh.
Oh gosh, never mind. I don't want to.
Yeah, what you mean? Why you gotta come for me like that?
Deep breath. Oh, you guys on the show
Clem,
here.
All Clem, I did. In. Deuces.
Let's step in.
Deuces.
Deuces.
Deuces. For everyone that's listening to us on ESPN Radio, hit us in the comments on Twitter at Chiney, at Mike Golick Jr., C-H-I-N-E-Y, with the word deuces. Cliff actually played that song today. I digress. Or, you know, you guys can go into our podcast and put that word in as you subscribe, rate, and review, Junior.
Yeah, make sure you check that out right now. Billy, do you want a chance to redeem yourself here? What exactly was that? We asked you to come to the microphone with a word, and you moaned softly into the mic.
Bye-bye, boo-boo.
Okay, there it is. All right.
Nope, still going to be deuces. It's going to be deuces. Bill, you lost your opportunity, bro.
Yeah, you know what?
Be hating. Yo. You got to cut that. Get that hate out your heart, girl. It's
okay,
not good for
see.
You. It's not good
Everyone
for
that's
you.
Listening on Twitter, it's you not know, good for you. Either use us, use a tweet and put deuces or bye-bye, boo-boo, and we'll see which one wins.
That.
I am very excited.
Twitter, don't let me down.
You know what? Twitter has not let us out today because I got to say, sports Twitter is one of my favorite places. NBA Twitter we know has been so great. Football Twitter's come up. Inauguration Day Twitter came correct today. We were able to hunt down a pair of Dior Jordans that we saw in the background right there. We have memed Bernie Sanders into oblivion right now. I have seen him everywhere on the internet at this point in time, Shanae. I mean, it has just been remarkable the way that we have gone through and found a way to do what we usually do. Take very important occasions, very important things, and dumb them down to the internet gutter level.
And we will talk about this as we keep that same energy, Cliff, but 1 second. We can talk about this because A-Rod was on stage, and that is sports.
Hey, kids, keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level is really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chiney and Golick Jr.
Am I right or am I right?
Chiney, I'm glad you mentioned it. June Lee, who does a great job as a writer for us here at ESPN, mostly covering the sport of baseball, posted this thread. Alex Rodriguez, you saw him on stage because his wife J-Lo was performing in this instance at the inauguration. The amount of places that Alex Rodriguez continues to find himself here. I mean, we're talking the inauguration, the VMAs, the Met Gala, the Oscars behind Lady Gaga when she won there. A-Rod's been on Shark Tank. A-Rod's been on our show, Super Bowl halftime show. This man managed to turn life around so much, and he really, like, I hope he is buying J-Lo the amount of gifts she deserves for all of this.
He was also at Times Square for New Year's, so that man really has baited if he's, you know, celebrating New Year's with all of us.
At June Lee on Twitter if you want to check out a collection of A-Rod's greatest hits in all of this.
In today's A-Rod Daily Brief, what else was there where he was there?
Well, A-Rod was at the inauguration today with everything going on right now where, Chiney, we saw a level of Met Gala fits going on at this. We saw a gigantic Bible from Joe Biden, maybe the original Bible on stage there. But as much as anything, Chiney, and I think one of the most impressive things for me on that day was seeing Amanda Gorman, 22, the youngest inaugural poet in history. She's a poet laureate from Harvard and did an incredible job up there going and really being able to sum up that moment in an incredibly powerful way.
The representation that we saw was something that I never thought we would ever experience growing up. I just thought that that was not to say foreign place, but a place that maybe wasn't as accessible. It took a different path for us. And over the last 10 or so years, we've seen that change in real time. And I think, like you said, Amanda Gorman was a great embodiment of what that change has been. And, you know, as we talk about her, and I'm not going to do this any justice, these are the words that she said, for those who missed it. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light if we're only brave enough to see it, if we're only brave enough to be it. A word!
Ooh.
A word!
She would like an
entire
word.
And then she dropped
word.
The mic. And go look at her on social media because she's winning. She got selfies with everybody. I think, A-Rod didn't make one of those. I don't think she got one with J-Lo, but she got a lot of them.
She got a lot of them there. It was an incredible addition to that day. One of the moments that we had some, you know, affinity for outside of just memeing it on this one. Chiney, we did have a big moment in the sport of women's basketball yesterday as well. UConn women's coach Gino Auriemma got his 1,099th career victory on Tuesday, which moved him past the late Tennessee great coach Pat Summitt, who is 1,098 career wins on here. Obviously, Tara Vandeveer, your coach at Stanford, the all-time leader at 1,105. But, Chiney, growing up around here, you faced off against UConn. I've watched them grow up around here. And anytime you're talking about Pat Summitt as the name you're passing, it is a big, big deal.
Legends of the game. Congrats to Coach Gino. Obviously, that number is crazy, and he has a lot of opportunity to continue to, you know, increase it along with my coach, Tara Vanderveer. So love to see it.
I can say, how much did that hurt you bringing that up, Janae?
Look, I try to keep it professional.
And you managed to. Listen, we can talk about Gino Auriemma and Nick Saban and these coaches that have personally victimized us in these spots on the field of play right now. We keep it professional. We have tried to do our best. Spain and Fitz are going to try and do the same. They're coming up next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.